Good afternoon. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we come to thee right now, thanking you for who you are, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I pray that as you put the words in this clay pot, that the Holy Spirit will take your words and convict hearts to eternal life. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Focusing this morning on just two verses in Hebrews, seeing how the gospel message is brought out in this chapter. And of course, we will be referring to other scriptures, but our core this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 1, and we're reading 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners or different ways spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord will and has already blessed the reading of his word and is beginning to challenge the hearers thereof. The chapter opens up by telling us that God, who in other times and in various ways spoke in times past by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. We would ask the question, how did God speak in those days? Well, he spoke, as we know, to the fathers by the prophets. And of course, when we look at the contextual structure of this passage, we know very clearly that the author was directing the letter to Hebrews because of the name Hebrews. And so these were Hebrew Christians to whom the letter was being addressed. But since all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke, exhortation, and righteousness, we are taking our lesson this morning from this lovely book, looking at these three verses. Here we are seeing that God, through the prophets, spoke to the people. We go back to the book of Genesis. We find the first preacher of the spoken word was God himself, when in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he preached to the serpent, saying that the seed of the woman would bruise and crush the authority of Satan. And didn't he? Yes, he did. In Exodus, Moses reminds us that he is the God of our salvation. And he proved that by taking them through the Red Sea to the other side. In Leviticus verse 14, chapter 14, verse 11, he is given to us as the cleanser and the healer of the lepers. This is fulfilled and brought out in Luke chapter 5 as we read the story of the lepers coming to Jesus and Jesus being the high priest healing them. In Numbers, he is described as a star out of Jacob and a scepter out of Israel. In Deuteronomy, Moses reminds the people that he will be the one that God will raise up whom the people will hear. This is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 4, the story of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, when after he was baptized, we find that voice coming from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him." And finally, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14, Joshua meets the divine personality, a Christophany, so to speak. Christ manifested himself in Joshua and identifies himself as the captain of the Lord's host. Isn't it interesting that he's also identified in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 as the captain of our salvation? And so in Hebrews chapter 1, we find God speaking to the fathers by the prophets. But here in chapter 2, in verse 2, as if to say to us, "I want you to understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to not use the prophets, I'm going to use myself." He has spoken to us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews, in the second verse, the author presents to us his resume. Here it is. Who being, he said in verse 2, he hath appointed, the last days he spoke to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. His resume is expressed in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of God's person. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Here is humility. When he had by himself, where else do we hear the term himself when it came to sacrifice? Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8. We know the story well. Abraham takes his son Isaac up into the mountain following the commandment of God. God told Abraham, yes, after waiting over 75 years, I want you to take this, your son, as if to put a dagger in the heart of Abraham, your only son. And he continues, as it were, to turn the dagger, your only son Isaac, up into the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. That was not uncommon for the culture of that day, because the Ur of the Chaldeans were known to offer human sacrifice. But yet, God was about to test the faith of Abraham. And we know the story. He takes him to the mountain, and Isaac says to his father, "Father, here is the wood, and here is the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And in the wisdom of a man who has dedicated himself to God with all his wealth, with all his cattle, with all his stocks, here is a man who looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He would say to his son, God would provide himself land. But here in Hebrews, it says, when he had by himself, there was no substitute for Jesus, purge our sins. Satisfaction of a three times holy God. It says he sat down there is an heretic doctrine that's going around telling us that Christ did not die for the whole world. It is very important that we understand that he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He died not only for our sins but for the sin of the whole world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, when he had by himself bore our sins, sat down. So the Hebrews gives us the resume of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message is clear. Jesus, the Son of the living God, identified himself always, as he always did, as deity. The claims of Christ, even before the hypocritical Pharisees, these men who loved to polish the outside walls of the tomb, forgetting that inside were dead men's bones, would come to Jesus at one point and, as it were, rebuke him, or so they thought. As Jesus was healing someone on the Sabbath day, Jesus turns to them to escalate the hostility, as he always did with his truth. And he would say to them, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." So he expressed his deity when he had by himself purged our sins. He sat down. And so here in Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we find in verse 2, Jesus speaking to us through his work and his word. He wants you to understand that there is a difference in verse 1 and verse 2. For the word spoken was actually an act performed. Why do we say that? Because it says in verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. This was the word and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so more important for us to understand was the word and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please keep in mind that God did not send the angels, any of the angels, to redeem us. And I'm so glad that they didn't. Quite frankly, they wouldn't know what to do. 2 Peter tells us that the angels are still trying to figure out this whole salvation thing. They're looking into it. They don't understand it. Took the action of a holy God to satisfy his divine requirements. My message this afternoon is very, very short. The question you would ask then, Jesus has done all of this. What do I need to do? If Jesus has already died and paid the penalty for my sins, what do I need to do? This is what you need to do. You need to repent. Why do I need to repent?
Because you're dead.
How can you say that? Why are you calling me dead?
I did not do it. Ephesians chapter 2 did it. It defines death as someone who has not repented of their transgression against God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, there's no real way to package this nicely. I can't deliver this in a squishy, nicey way. Romans 3 tells us that the third chapter, verse 23, for all have sinned. Not only that, but as we read Romans chapter 3, we get the pathology of the human heart. And as a minister of the gospel, I cannot sugarcoat and tell you how sweet and wonderful without God that I am. If I did that, I would be a liar. And since by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie, therefore the liar does turn out to be me. And I will be dubbed the false prophet who must also repent. There's no nicey-nicey way to describe what happens to a life without God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Now I go and I'm trying to figure out the same. I go to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 and it describes it. It describes my heart as deceitful and desperately wicked. What do I need to do? Then I go to Psalm chapter 14 and I hear that there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Then I go to Isaiah 64 verse 6. And it tells me that all the churchy, nicey things that I'm doing, taking grannies across the street, giving charity to the scouts, trying to earn the brownie points, hoping that maybe somehow, God will see my act of kindness, pass over my hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and somehow woo me into heaven. But then I read Isaiah 64 verse 6 that says, all of this is thy dirty underwear with stuff in it. That's how it is before God. Then I go to Romans for some hope. And it tells me the same bad news that the Old Testament tells me, that I'm under the wrath of God. But is there hope? Is there hope? This is the gospel. It provides you with hope. But we have to give you the bad news before we give you the good news. Listen to the good news. But this man, after he purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What do I need to do? We remind you to do what the Apostle Peter reminded the people so very, very long ago to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is calling you this afternoon to obedience. He's not calling you to wealth. No, you're going to have to work with your own hands and work hard to acquire that. He's not calling you to wealth. He's calling you to obedience. So we remind you this afternoon to understand, as Jesus reminded Nicodemus,
you must be born again. This is not something that's new to the New Testament. In Ezekiel, we find God himself telling his people, as he's telling us, a new heart will I put within you, a new spirit will I put within you, and a new heart will I give to you. I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's the new birth. And only the Holy Spirit and his power can do that for you. And so, as I close with this message, what do you need to do? Call upon the name of the Lord in repentance. The question was asked, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, this morning, you've experienced that the other way. I have been sent to tell you what you need to do. You have heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is now your responsibility to begin to ask God to have mercy on you. We don't know who may be convicted in this house this afternoon, but it is our responsibility to present to you the living Christ, which we have done. It is our prayer that you would hear, and after hearing the word, that you would respond, to repent, to turn away from sin, and to turn to God. This is the message. This is the gospel. This is life. I trust that if you are here and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you need to do? You need to repent and turn to him. Your salvation comes by believing the work that God has already done through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. May you come to know him this afternoon. This is our prayer. This is why we are here. We trust if you will hear his voice, you will not harden your heart. Shall we pray? Holy God, we bless you this afternoon that your word and your work has been done. We thank thee for the Calvary. We thank you for going to the cross, dying for us, O Lord, according to the scriptures, being buried and raised again from the dead, according to the scriptures. I pray, O Lord, that those that are under the sound of your word would be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and coming judgment. And in obedience to your word, would cry out like the Apostle Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Be gracious to the hearers, Lord, and bring many sons to glory. We continue to worship and praise you and bless you for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.